little bit different, as I say. I just want to share a few words on those passages, mainly on John chapter 7. It does say it too in Acts chapter 2 about the Holy Spirit being poured out, and poured out on all flesh, and poured out on all the people. And as I said, this is the day of Pentecost, the day that we celebrate. Jesus has already died on the cross at Easter time, died, went into the grave, and on the third day, that first Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. He's been with the disciples up until Thursday week ago at Ascension, of all those days since Easter. And then from Thursday week ago until today, the disciples were in an upper room waiting. They met together. They were still perhaps uncertain. We know that they would have had what is next Sunday's sermon, which is Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations." But then he says to them, go and wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And the point of that is that we need the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things of God. And it's not even necessarily the things that God wants us to do. Because sometimes we look at it as in, oh, what have I got to do for God? I need to do this and this and this, and I need to be doing that and that and that, and we need to be going here and doing this thing. And there's an element of truth in those things. But that's not the whole story. Because the main reason why God came, or really the main reason why God came in the form of Jesus, his son, is that he came so that we could know him. That's it. That's really all that God's interested in, is you and me knowing him, Almighty God. And I touched on that and preached on that last week from John 17 and verse 3, where Jesus is praying on the Mount of Olives before his crucifixion, before he was taken and flogged and died on the cross for us. He was praying to the Father, and he says, and this is eternal life, that they may know me. Sorry, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. And that's what it's about, knowing him. But part of that comes with Pentecost as well, is that the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. Because we've got God the Father, that Jesus referred to, that we should know him. We've got God the Son, Jesus, who we read about in the Bible as being living on earth and having been an example. But then we have God the Holy Spirit, that Jesus spoke about in John 16, that he would go so that the Comforter, the Helper, would come, and he, the Holy Spirit, would lead us into all truth. And so we need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. So that we've seen and heard about God in three persons. Yes, it's still only the one God, but we've seen and heard about God in three persons operating in the different aspects. Remember, Jesus said himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John chapter 14. And then we read there about how Philip stupidly said, oh well, Lord, if you show us the Father, then that will be good enough. And you can imagine Jesus scratching his head going, I could have sworn I told you, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now we never have a better understanding because we're 2,000 years later on. What we see about the Father, we see about the Son, and today we know about the Holy Spirit. But the point that I want to say to you, and all of that was preamble leading up to it, is that it says this in the bit that Jesus says, in verse 38, well, the end of verse 37, he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It is not up to you and me to make things happen. And if that's not good news, I don't know what is. It's not about what
we do. It's not about what we make happen. It says that out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. And the rivers of living water is talking about what the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit too, will do through you. You see, whenever we realize that God loves us, God loves me, God absolutely adores me. He's got a picture of me in his wallet. I know that. Absolutely no doubt about it. Now, you might argue with me and say, no, he's got a picture of me there. Well, okay. And he loves us all. And what he's longing for is for us to love him back. That's it. But you see, whenever we do fall in love with God, and whenever we open ourselves to him and we allow and receive his Holy Spirit, like the day at Pentecost, we will find ourselves doing things for God more accidentally than you ever tried to do on purpose. Because the love is what overwhelms you. Now, any of you here that are in a relationship, be it boyfriend, girlfriend, be it husband, wife, or where you remember husband, wife because they're no longer here, you know how mad and silly and stupid you get when you fall in love. You do anything for them. Because you love them. Because that's what love does. You don't try. You just find yourself helping. You find yourself doing things that you thought you'd never do. I know that's true for me. There's things that you find yourself doing. Oh, never do that. But then when you fall in love, yep, of course, dear, certainly, going to do that. And it's the same for her because she tries to bless me and to do things because she loves me. And that's true for all of us. And it's exactly the same for with God. God loves you. Absolutely adores you. And you see, if you don't love him back, God still loves you. Absolutely adores you. Which is really different from us. Because we're not like that. We do fall in love. And we do really, really, really love you. But you see, if something happens, goes wrong, I'm not so sure about that. But that's not God's kind of love. God loves us. God loves you. And he wants you to know him. And that's all that he wants. But as I said to you, is that when you love him because he loves you, and when you get to know him because he loves you and you love him, and you get to know him as a person, not just as a way up there, but you get to know him as in here, because he's not just the God, the Lord God Almighty, but he's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Daddy. He's the Holy Spirit, that sweet, still voice that speaks within me. Personally, he loves me. And I love him back. And I think it's brilliant. But because I love him back and I allow him to love me, those rivers of living water start flowing out of my heart. Now, I don't make it go, I'm going to love you. No. It just happens. Because he changes me from the inside out. And as a church and as people, we need to be those who stop trying to change ourselves from the outside in. If only I'll do this, then God will love me. No, God loves you anyway. God loves you anyway. But he actually loves you more when you accept it and believe it and turn to him and fall in love with him. Because it says in the Bible, much more than. You sort of think, he already loves me with everything. And it says, he loves me more. Wow. And again, even if we use the pictures that we have in life, because that's all we've got to go on. If we use the pictures that we have of life, of if you have a loving and great, fantastic relationship with another person, then you know what that's like in a small part. Well, just magnify that by 1,000. And even that, you could magnify it more than 1,000 times. God's love for you is so much greater than that. That's how much he loves you. And if we can just get a glimpse of that and even, get a wee snippet of that and catch it, it will totally transform your life. And you will find the rivers of living water flowing out of you. Because it's the Spirit of God, it's God himself in you that changes you. It's God himself in you that will flow out of you to do things, to touch people, to help people, to bless people. You very much will come to that place. I've said this before. It's the word joy. Because people talk about being happy. And happy isn't in the Bible, but joy is. And we have the joy of the Lord as our strength. But if you take the word joy and take the three letters apart, you have J, Jesus first. O, others next. Y, yourself last. And it's not that I'm telling you not to love yourself. I'm telling you love yourself. But love Jesus first. And then love others next. And yourself last. But again, so that you don't get confused. All right, you're now telling us we have to do this. No. When you love God because he loves you, that's Jesus first. That's Jesus first. When you love God because he loves you and you fall in love with him, you've just put him first. And when you do that, you will find the rivers of living water in you reaching out to others. Because all you'll be thinking about is other people after you've been thinking about God. But you'll not be trying to love other people. You just find yourself doing it. Just find yourself doing it. Why? Because you love him, because he loves you. I love God because he loves me. Like, one of the things that radically changed my life is realizing that God loves me and I love him. And if God loves me and I love him, that also means that God loves, everybody else. Well, if I truly love God because he loves me, and because I love God and he loves me, and he loves everybody else, then that means I should be loving everybody else too. And that quite often becomes a stumbling block for people. Because it's okay falling in love with God because he loves me and I love him, but it's a whole different ballgame if you're asking me to love everybody else. And if you've said that and you've thought that, got competition. If you've said that and you've thought that, then you haven't truly got to that place where you realize that God loves you. Because you're still thinking about you. And you're not thinking about him. Because when we get to that place where we love him because he is love and he loves us, and we discover that he loves other people, we will find ourselves loving other people too. Now, I'm not saying that you fall in love with other people, but you love other people the way that God loves them. Because it's his Spirit in you flowing out to the other people. And one of the wonderful things about that picture is that whenever you love Jesus first and you've fallen in love with him, and when you start pouring out and falling in love with others as well, you'll find yourself being blessed and filled and overflowing with God and with his love. There you are, we got singing, but we didn't provide it. Day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and poured out on all flesh. And it's his Spirit in us and through us that touches other people. And we get touched as well. Let's pray.
Father God, I thank you. I thank you for today, and I thank you for this special day. That yes, it's different. It's different from what we've normally had in church.